I wanted to pursue epidemiology. I thought I was going to stick with a state job. And I was thinking infectious disease epidemiology. You know, everything I had done up until that point was infectious disease throughout microbiology and diagnostic work. And I thought about, you know, acute situations in infectious disease, and that's where I would stay. I think once I moved into the pharma industry, I realized that there is this whole chronic disease epidemiology. And I started to understand, you know, whereas epidemiology is really very niche and specific, but once you kind of go in that door, then everything opens up. And then there's all these other options under this umbrella of epidemiology.
From PHI Media, I'm Gordon Thane, and this is The Pioneer, episode 217, Navigating the Field of Epidemiology and Discovering Public Health. Epidemiologists are the eyes and ears of public health. We're the folks that help let the world know what's going on, where we're going, and help to provide that direction. It can be an intense field. It's a really fun and rewarding field. I've never in one day of my life regretted being an epidemiologist. With the constant supply of health problems, you'll never be bored as an epidemiologist. That was a quote from Dr. Annette Regan in episode 127. It's unsurprising that those words resonate once again.
You're listening to the Public Health Insight Podcast, your go-to space for all things public health and global health, from the Sustainable Development Goals to the social determinants of health, as well as interesting dialogues about the diverse career opportunities that exist in these fields. Remember to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so other people like you can benefit from our content.
What you're about to hear is mine and LaShawn's conversation with Dr. Charlotte Hughes Huntley about her discovery of public health and her journey into epidemiology. She discusses her academic pursuits, including her bachelor's degree in liberal arts and her master's and PhD in public health. Dr. Huntley also talks about her experience working in the pharmaceutical industry as an epidemiologist and how it differs from government and nonprofit work.
Dr. Huntley, welcome to the Public Health Insight Podcast. Finally, we got you on here.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And it's always a little weird when I'm on the guest seat.
Right.
You know, like it's a little odd, you know, so.
And we'll get into exactly why it's odd a bit later, because I think like podcasting has been around for a while in public health specifically, maybe not so much. And you were sort of one of the first persons to kind of do it. So I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second here. But before we do, what we like to do with a lot of our guests is you're doing a lot of important work, you're accomplishing a lot of these different things, but you didn't wake up like this, right? So we like to go back down in memory lane. Typically with careers, you're looking at when someone's going to start going to college or university. We want to kind of get a little bit in your mind in terms of when you applied, what you thought you might have been doing, how did that evolve to what you're doing now? Had you always been on the same course? So I want to talk specifically about your academic pursuits in two time periods here. So your first time period is finishing high school, preparing to do your bachelor's. And I think you did your bachelor's of arts in liberal arts and liberal studies. So that time period. And then I want to go to the other time period block where you did your MPH, you did your PhD, and then you did your graduate certificate in clinical research. So starting off with the bachelor's, liberal arts, you're going to college, university. What did you think you'd be doing once you completed that first degree?
Oh, I absolutely love this question and the framing. Because like a lot of people, I guess some people really have it mapped out and it just like flows. That was not my situation. Mm-hmm. And it's nice looking at it retrospectively. As I was going through this, nothing made sense.
You could have fooled us.
What I knew early on is I was interested in health.
Okay.
I had an older brother. He's a medical doctor. You know, well, when I was young, he was like, I remember him being in college and majoring in biology, and he was, you know, going to medical school. And So I thought, well, I'm going to be a medical doctor because I'm interested in health and this is what he's doing. And I started in that direction and then life happened. I actually started pursuing my bachelor's in biology and pre-med. And then I had interruption. I got married. There was a long pause there. We started a family right away. So for about 10 years, I was raising kids and I had had enough education and was introduced to microbiology. I worked in lab in a hospital. That was my college job. And I loved that. So I continued to do that type of work, like lab assisting, and I learned how to do phlebotomy. I did everything around the lab, but I was not like qualified to do, of course, any diagnostic work. But that was what I did along with raising kids. And I kept exploring, like, how do I go back and finish this? And I'd go back and take some classes. And I had a boatload of credits, but they were just not fitting because I was trying to just piece it together over that time. So when my marriage, we divorced. So when that marriage, when it ended, I was in a seat of, okay, now I've got three kids. I'm a single mom. I've got three kids. I've got to figure something out here so that I can move it forward. So my hat was a little more strategic. And I was still trying to pull together, what can I make of this, all this experience? I moved closer to my family in Mississippi at that time on the Gulf Coast so that I could have that support with the young kids. And I jumped into the technical college then. And I did it because, very strategic move, I had a whole lot of credits, enough to earn a bachelor's degree, but it was like I needed to hit the ground running. I needed something that I could grab, go to any place and be able and know I could get a job. And the lab was the like low hanging fruit. It made the most sense. So I completed my degree in medical laboratory technology and really excelled in that program because I had done that work, so much of that work. And I enjoyed that. It was the right challenge for me. I had enough credits that I was like, you can get two associate's degrees. I want all that I qualify for. So I completed that degree and graduated. And there was a shortage of that type of work, that, you know, across the country, really. So I landed in South Carolina because it was a great offer to move here. They really rolled out the red carpet. It was a large hospital system. So I came here, settled with my kids. And in healthcare, it matters. You actually earn more money with more education or certifications. So I chose the liberal arts bachelor's degree because it was the quickest way to use all of the credits that I had already earned. I think I had to take maybe one or two upper level courses, and I was able to complete that. And that immediately moved me up into the next level in work. So, you know, still just pumping along there, and things were starting to settle. We were here in South Carolina. Kids were doing great. And then I was really starting to think about, okay, well, what's really next for me? At that point, love the job still to this day. If I could go back and work in microbiology lab, I'd do it. Assuming they would even hire me. It's been so long. I'm quite rusty, but the challenge was wonderful. I love what I was doing. But at that point, I talked to my mentors and I was like, well, where do I go from here? There were a couple of people in the lab that had masters of public health because it was a very large, still is one of the largest hospital systems here in our state. And they're like, what's a master's of public health? And they're like, it's research master's. I was like, okay. Our management and hospital administrators like, well, if you get your MBA, then you can move up into like hospital management and like move along that way. And it was really appealing, but I was a little intrigued by this whole MPH thing. So I ended up kind of discovering public health. And when I realized that in public health, we are looking at populations of people. And immediately I thought, greater impact. You know, I grew up in a family where we had a lot of my older relatives were dying early from like complications of diabetes. And I thought these problems are big and affect big populations of people. So it was like the big aha moments. Like, this is really what I've always wanted to do. I just didn't know that it was a thing and it had its name. So needless to say, I pursued public health and went in that direction. And then it became a series of aha moments where it's like, oh, this is why I've always been so passionate about. I would get on my mother's nerves. I was always about this prevention and what we should be doing, physical activity and nutrition. And so anyway, it was, that was like the big turning point for me. So up until that point, I was very strategic, just trying to, first it was like, let me adjust to life. And then life would change. Okay, let me adjust to life again. And then at the point I shifted into public health, it became more of a true nature of public health, a more proactive approach. And it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was working, moved into the working for the state in our state public health lab initially, and then moved around in the microbiology division there. But it took on a whole new meaning because now it was like I was responsible for the population of the people of my state. Mm-hmm. And then I understood how that filtered up to the federal level. And it became this, there's this never-ending path of learning, right? We never get to the point where, we've learned it all and we're good, right? So that as I completed the master's of public health, I specialized and continued into working on my doctorate and specialized in epidemiology. I knew I wanted to be an epidemiologist. It just made sense to me, the next step.
Like after you got your MPH and started your you wanted, okay.
Because as I started thinking about the work that I was doing in the lab, and I was doing a lot of surveillance and working, training and learning from CDC workshops, and it just seemed like the very next logical step. I was already on like the select agents. We were this task force preparing for potential bioterror events. And so it was like very much the next step. And I had a mentor our bureau chief was my mentor at that time. And he really encouraged me to pursue epidemiology. You mentioned my graduate certificate in clinical research administration. I worked for the state for several years. And then I pivoted to private industry. I think it's a little bit of that business background, the entrepreneur in me, really, because I wanted to have creative ideas. And I wasn't met with that same kind of excitement in my government colleagues. But in industry, I had a job in pharmaceutical industry, and they loved innovation and creative ideas. So I worked as an epidemiologist, but within that industry. And it was a good match for me and my skill set. So I pursuing that graduate certificate helped me to just understand that whole process. Drug development is like a 10-year at least process, and a lot of money invested, and there's a lot of nuances around that, but it helped me to really think. And I thought, I'm not sure I wanted to stay in there. I spent about 5 years in there, but I also started my business at that time. And so things really started to take a whole different, like kind of a twist at that point. So it's been an exciting path. Well, I can say that now looking back.
Right. So it didn't always feel that way.
Always feel that way. It was always like, oh, what's happening? And this is different, and just adjusting. Mm-hmm. I'd say in the last 8 or so years, it's been exciting, but not, kind of getting to that point. And then it wasn't always as exciting.
When people think about epidemiology, they often think about government jobs, but there are many opportunities in the private sector as well. The pharmaceutical industry, for example, offers a wide range of experiences involving mapping the disease prevalence, identifying drug markets, and so much more. Essentially, putting you at the intersection of science, public health, and business.
And that's fair. I want to hone in on that pharmaceutical industry piece. So you eventually realize epidemiology was the thing for you as you started to niche down into public health. What does epidemiology look like in the pharmaceutical industry context? Is it sort of different from government, nonprofit? What are the differences there?
Well, that's a great question, because when I was in the state and I wanted to pursue epidemiology, I thought I was going to stick with a state job. And I was thinking infectious disease epidemiology. Everything I had done up until that point was infectious disease throughout microbiology and diagnostic work. And I thought about acute situations in infectious disease, and that's where I would stay. I think once I moved into the pharma industry, I realized that there is this whole chronic disease epidemiology. And I started to understand, whereas epidemiology is really very niche and specific, but once you kind of go in that door, then everything opens up. And then there's all these other options under this umbrella of epidemiology. So in this industry, from the work that I did, the company was a very global company, so based in London. it really opened up the world to me, truly, because I was working remotely way before it was cool, way before the pandemic, and people were constantly trying to figure out what I was doing because I was always in this little office in my house, and they didn't take me seriously. You don't really have a job, do you? But I had a great job. The company was based in London, and we had offices around the world. So the epidemiology team was half London-based and then half U.S.-based. So we had like San Diego, New Hampshire. I live here in South Carolina. We were spread around. But our clients were all big pharma. So, you know, Pfizer, Eli Lilly, all big pharma were our clients. So where they have their own in-house epidemiology, there's some limitations to what they do, but they would outsource some of the analytics. It's really important to just think in this industry, like I mentioned, it takes about 10 years for drug development, at least, just average. So from the point of an idea or chemical compound or what it could do, there's all these things that need to happen and a lot of money that goes into it. So it's really important to know where the people who have these conditions are. So if a drug company is going to target, say, a new drug for diabetes, they need to know where's the highest prevalence of people with diabetes by country, by age and region, is as specific as possible. And then I did a lot of forecasting because it's like, not only do we need to know what that looks like now, but what do you anticipate in the next 10 years? So if they're investing and looking into the future, it really is important to be able to understand these analytics. It's really good guessing, but we're not just like throwing numbers. There is a whole specialized area in forecast. There's set models for forecasting. We see it in the weather when they're predicting hurricanes. There's a model that'll have it tracked in all these different directions. Well, we can do that, and with estimating the population of people who have a disease and may have it, something like a chronic condition like diabetes or cancer and other indications. So that is what our company, our team focused on. So I was responsible for certain indications, and I would look at 7 major main markets, United States, Japan, and then 5 core European markets like the UK, France, Italy, Germany. And again, we would niche down to by age, gender. And when I say age, I'm talking like 5-year age groups. It gets very involved. But we would create these very detailed reports that would give background information, trends, global trends, because it's important to know it's very different to have diabetes in the United States versus somebody who lives in Germany and has diabetes. So really understanding these global trends and patterns and packaging that up and then serving that to the client so that they could make the best use of that investment time and make those decisions. And it was important to me with all of my training. I felt like with my background in healthcare, my background in public health, at least I was filtering everything that I did through that public health lens. And when I provided that report, that output, I knew that I had filtered that through that public health lens and I prepared it with that, really looking at those populations. And so I enjoyed that. I really did. It was challenging. It had its ups and downs like everything else, but I really enjoyed that.
I think that is amazing. You're doing all this. You did your PhD. You're doing all these certification and degrees that you're talking about. You're working in the pharmaceutical industry. And then sprinkled into all that, let's not even talk about raising your kids and all those pieces, but then having time to be an adjunct professor and also being an epidemiology communications chair for the American Public Health Association. How?
Yeah.
Dr. Huntley, how?
I know. Okay, so I think, and I'm going to have to say, like, there's some people have this, you have this little, like, feel like it's calling, right? When you're an entrepreneur, you have any bit of that in your body, you're always curious. You're always looking for, like, you're always wanting to explore. And I've been juggling life and handling all these things. So as my kids got older and my responsibilities started to shift in the parenting realm, that opened up that energy to and that attention to be something else. I could really start to think about and explore what I have been interested in. Maybe I'd put on hold and pause. So, for example, I made a decision not to travel with work very minimal travel when my kids were like school age. That was just a decision I made. So as they got older, then I was free to do those things. And I began to open up to those opportunities. Once I moved out of my little thought of like, okay, South Carolina and my state and my people, and I started working globally, and you open up the whole world. And with the way that we use technology, I mean, look at how we're having this conversation and we're connected. When you are like, your wings are spread that wide, you don't just all of a sudden clip those and go back to like something smaller, right? I was really drawn to the American Public Health Association. Years ago, I had been involved and then it went dormant. But suddenly, I was really wanting to meet other people around the country that was, and get to know what they were doing. It was this curiosity. And when you start to get involved, and especially there are not a whole lot of epidemiologists here in my state. And then if you put us all in a room, the majority are working for the state or a university. And then what else is there? Because I used to think like, what else is there? So I wanted to meet other people under this umbrella of epidemiology. I wanted to know what else was going on and who was doing what. And just to find those people, I kind of say like with skin on, where I could go someplace and meet with them and shake their hand and have a conversation in person. And so that led me doing that. I think the professor thing was something I always wanted to do. I didn't want to do it full time. I just wanted to kind of keep my foot in the academic door. So, I mean, I was teaching right away. I love the work, and I had completed my degrees online. So it was important that I was able to teach in online degree programs, because I felt like my perspective as an adult learner and just all of that would filter in, and I could really connect with students. And I started immediately the first assignments that were all like graduate, so they were MPH students, or they were working like nurses in the nurse practitioner program, because they were required to take biostatistics, and so that was one of the courses I taught. I did that for years, and then they moved. The university started a PhD program in biomedical or in health sciences, and they asked me to teach in those courses. So I'd say 3 years I taught on the PhD level. And this is the first time I've actually paused since like probably 6 or 7 years of teaching. I've always had like a class each term for the most part. And I initially took a pause right now. But I think it's just, if it just kind of flows, you know, I get help with systems and running things so that I can stay like in this zone of where I'm uniquely needed. That's how it works.
Coming up next, the second episode in the three-part miniseries with Dr. Charlotte Hughes Huntley, where she shares her motivation for starting the Public Health Epidemiology Conversations podcast way back in 2017 and how it has evolved over time. In this conversation, Dr. Huntley shares her dedication to podcasting and the potential of this tool in public health. That's next time on The Pioneer, on the Public Health Insight podcast.
This show was edited by me, Gordon Thane, with additional editing from LaShawn Benedict. Sound design and mixing by myself and LaShawn Benedict. The original music from The Music Room, composed by Tom Fox, licensed from Johnny Harris. The cover art design for our show by LaShawn Benedict. The Public Health Insight podcast is produced by PHI Media. Thank you for listening to the Public Health Insight podcast, your go-to space for informative conversations, inspiring community action. If you enjoy our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. See you in the next one.